This week we are reading Parashat Vayakel, but we are also reading Parashat Shkalim. And I'd like to devote our attention over the course of this shiur to the specific issue of the timing of reading Parashat Shkalim, and that is that we're reading it in anticipation of Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. And that will lead us to the larger discussion, which is about the mitzvot of Adar and in which Adar we practice them, and indeed the issue of the two Adars. So if you take a look at the fourth source on the page, it is a Mishnah in the third parak of Megillah, and it reads as follows: Rosh Chodesh Shela Adar Shechal Yot B'Shabbat Koreim Parashat Shkalim. Famously, there's a machloket in the Bavli between Rav and Shmuel what Parashat Shkalim is. And Chaliot Petocha Shabbat, but if Rosh Chodesh Adar happens during the week, Makdimim Shavat L'Shavar, you read it the Shabbat before, Umafsikim L'Shabbat Acheret. The next Shabbat is a break, and indeed, next Shabbat we will not read a special parasha. And then Bashnia Zachor, the second of the special Shabbatot is Zachor, Bashishit Paraduma, Revita Chodesh Zalachem, and Chavishit Chozrin Lesidran. And it's an interesting machloket in the Gemara about whether that means that during these weeks we are exclusively reading the special reading, and when the series is done we go back to reading the regular parasha, or it just means that the haftarot are special for those weeks, and then we go back to the regular haftarot associated with the regular parasha afterwards. But that's not the focus. We actually discussed that last year. Well, that's not the focus of my interest here, and that rather is the issue of which Adar we're going to be reading the special Parsha, Parshat Shkalim. And that takes us to source 2, which is a famous Mishnah in the first parak of Megillah. Karuta Megillah be'Adar HaRishon. And you notice that the letter Vav is highlighted in parentheses. The reason I put it that way is because in the Kaufman manuscript of the Mishnah, the Vav is not there. But in the printed edition and other Kitveya, the Vav is there. And it makes a difference, because if we read it without a Vav, we'll try it that way. Karuta Megillah Badar Rishon, Nitabra Shana Korim Ota Badar Sheni. Now, that could be read as two separate clauses, meaning you read the Megillah on Adar Rishon. However, if there's any Bur Shana, you read it by Adar Sheni. And the assumption here is that the year had been already announced in advance, at least well before Purim, that there was going to be a second Adar. So coming into Adar, they already knew that there was going to be a second Adar. And that means you read it on Adar Sheni. However, if you read Vinita Brashana, you may be talking about a sequencing issue, which is if they read Megillah in Adar, and only after Purim did the Beit Din decide then to add a month, nonetheless, you still have to read it in Adar Sheni. And that means that even B'diavad, when they read a proper Purim reading of Megillat Esther in the only Adar that existed, but then when an extra Adar was added, they still have to read it again. And we'll see more nuances about that in the Tosefta in Source 3. So, Karuta Megillah Badar Rishon, we'll read it Vinitabra Shana, Sheni. And then the Mishnah continues, Ein Bein Adar HaRishon LaAdar HaSheni, Ela Kriyat Megillah UMatanot LaEvyonim. The only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Megillah and Matanot LaEvyonim, and we assume Matanot LaEvyonim is sort of a code word for all the mitzvot of Purim, Dahainu, Su'udah, and Mishloach Manot as well. Which leaves us with the question, well, if the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is pretty much everything, that means they're actually alike in no way. And so the Gemara will address that. What way is left in which they are going to be the same? Now, important to note, and not for our shiur, but just in general, that the phrase, Ein Bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni, which begins here, becomes a formula for a series of Mishnayot that follow this and take us to the end of this parak, and that they are commonly known as the Ein Beins, in which it's Ein Bein Shabbat Liyom HaKippurim, Ela Shezeb Zonon B'dei Adam, Ein Bein Shabbat Liyom Tov, Ela Ochal Nefesh, etc., meaning that the formula is there is no difference between A and B except for X, which means that everything besides X, A and B are the same. And that's what the Gemara, in every one of those steps, is devoted to figuring out what are all the other things in which A and B are the same. But it starts with this, with the Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, and that's why it's placed in Megillah. So that's the statement of the Mishnah. If you take a look at the Tosefta, which is source 3, you'll see a different phrasing of the issue, and you will see at least one, if not two, dissenting opinions. Karuta Megillah Adar Rishon Vinnit Abrashana. Now there again, they read it in Adar, regular Adar, and then they added, a month was added, Tzrichin Likrota Ba'Adar Hasheni. Notice the wording. They must read it, meaning reread it in Adar Sheni. Why? Shekol mitzvot shenahagot ba'adar sheni ein nohagot ba'adar rishon. Which means that all of the mitzvot that apply to Adar Sheni do not apply in Adar Rishon, which means that retroactively, when Adar turned into Adar Rishon, all the mitzvot that we did that were timely for Adar, no longer were done in the proper time. It's as if you did them on Chanukah or in Shvat. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Zechariah ben Hakatzav, which means this is a tradition that goes back to the times of the Mikdash. Ein tzrichin likrota ba'adar sheni. He disagrees. And says, if they read it in Adar Rishon, they don't have to go back and read it on Adar Sheni. That, by the way, does not speak to the issue, which we encounter every few years, which is when we know well in advance that there's going to be two Adars. This doesn't give permission to read it in Adar Rishon. They're just saying, if you read it in Adar Rishon, and then they added a month, you don't have to reread it again. Why? Look at the language. Shekol mitzvot shenohagot ba'adar hasheni, nohagot ba'adar rishon. And notice this is not the symmetrical opposite of the previous phrasing. The previous phrasing was, kol mitzvot shenohagot ba'adar hasheni, ein nohagot ba'adar rishon, which means all the things that you have to do in Adar can't be done in Adar Rishon. The phrasing of Rav Elazar Rabbi Yossi, his formula is, all the mitzvot that apply in Adar Sheni also apply in Adar Rishon, which means if you do them in Adar Rishon, you yotze. And then we're going to have to, at some point, reconsider the issue of the Arba Parshiot, of which Shkalim is the first. Shem Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Tzrichin Tikota Badar Hasheni, which sounds like the first opinion. If you read it in the first Adar and then they added a month, you have to read it again. Shekol mitzvot shenohagot ba'adar sheni ein nohagot ba'adar rishon. And here's where Shem Gamliel seems to distinguish himself from the first opinion. Chutz misefet v'tanit shenohagot shenohagin zeh b'zeh b'zeh. Meaning that according to Tanakama, Adar Rishon is nothing. It's just not Adar, it's month blob, whatever. According to Shem Gamliel, Adar Rishon really is an Adar. And therefore, the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, what we refer to as Purim Katan, do carry the prohibition of fasting and mourning, which attends to Purim itself. But all the other mitzvot have to be done in Adar Sheni, according to Shem Gamliel. Okay, so that lays the groundwork for us. Now, the Yerushalmi and Bavli both engage in extensive discussions about the three-way machloket in the Tosefta, about the issue of what the Mishnah is leaving out, in which Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are still alike, and what the source text for each position would be about whether Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni would be the ideal month, or better, more accurately, whether Adar Rishon would be sufficient or you have to do it again in Adar Sheni. So we're going to hop back and forth because I want to start by looking at the Yerushalmi, and then partway through we're going to look at the Bavli and go most of the way through and then go back to the Yerushalmi. You'll see why. So if you look at source 5, the Yerushalmi starts out as follows. Matnita b'she'ibru v'chakach karuota. The Yerushalmi says something that, in light of the way we explain the Mishnah, is really kind of fascinating. And strange, and that is that our Mishnah is only referring to a case where they first did Ibur Hashana, and then they read it, which means they did Ibur Hashana in the middle of the winter, or in the fall. And then came Adar Rishon, they read the Megillah, and now the same statement is, they have to read it again. Avalim karu ota v'chakach Ibur lo b'da. But if they read Megillah in regular Adar, and then the month was added, then the Mishnahs are done addressing that, and they don't have to reread it, because they already read Megillah. So matnita lo amarkein, but the Yerushalmi then says, but that's not what the Mishnah says. Elakarot haMegillah b'Adar Rishon ven nita b'Rashana, and I'm focusing on that vav, meaning it's a sequencing thing. Korinot haBadar Sheni, meaning even in a case where the Ibur Hashana happened after a proper Kriyat haMegillah in single Adar, not first Adar, single Adar, Nonetheless, you have to go back and read it again. All right? Now, where is this coming from? So we're rejecting that first approach and confirming that the rule of our Mishnah, that if you read it on Dar Rishon, you have to reread it on Dar Sheni, is even talking about a case where you had no way of knowing any better because when it came, Yud Dalet Adar, there was only one Adar. Now, Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Levi, Katuv, and we're going to see this in the Bavli also, L'kayem et Igeret HaPurim Hazot. Now, at this point, let's scroll up and take a look at the text from Megillat Esther, from Perek Tet, which is source 1. If you take a look at it, this is towards the end of the Megillah, when we get a report of the mandate of the holiday itself. And we see in Pasuk Chaf that Mordechai writes this document and sends it out to everybody, that they have to observe in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yom Arba Asar L'Chodesh Adav Yom Chamisha Asar Bo, and here's the key phrase, B'chol Shana V'Shana, which tells us right away that it's not just celebrated this year or next year, but rather in every year. Now, in every year at this point may mean that that as long as the people who benefited from this great miracle are alive, or the children alive, they have to celebrate it, which takes us now to Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Meaning, the Jews accepted in perpetuity on themselves and on their children, meaning an obligation for generations, to celebrate these 2 days, b'chol shana v'shana. So b'chol shana v'shana now means this is going to be every year in history. Purim was never going to leave. We're going to celebrate it every year. And then we get this note that these days have been celebrated for generations, a note that clearly indicates that this part of the Megillah is written later. Which means that Esther and Mordechai wrote letters that had the imprimatur of the emperor on them, of the empire, meaning with all of the legislative power that they had. Now, that means that there's now a second letter, which means what we're looking at in the Megillah represents, at least in part, if not totally, a second letter sent out by Mordechai and Esther that confirmed that this celebration is now a celebration in perpetuity, and it's referred to as Igeret HaPurim Hazot HaShenit. That word HaShenit is vital for our discussion. So take a look back in the Yerushalmi at the end of the first paragraph. Rabbi Simon B'Shem Shimon Levi says, "Katuv l'kevet Igeret HaPurim Hazot ma tamud lomor HaShenit." Why does it say HaShenit? Kanshim karu otah b'adar rishon v'dabar hashana karin otah b'adar hasheni. So in other words, he's reading the word HaShenit as meaning what? As meaning a Dar Sheni or a second reading. Here it sounds like he says it means even if you read it once and then it turns out there's another Adar, you have to read it again. Which, if you think about it, is actually a very helpful statement. Because you could certainly ask the question, if they read Megillah on regular Purim, there's only one Adar, and then 3 days later, Beit Din announced the new Adar, why should they have to read it again? They did everything properly, didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, the word Hashenit would mean that in certain circumstances, you're going to have to reread this letter a second time. And that's Shenit. The next paragraph, next couple of paragraphs are things which are not directly to our topic. We're going to skip them, but I put them in because they are just fascinating material about the significance of Purim and the significance of the Megillah and about finding allusions to it in the Torah and Nevim and Ketuvim. However, if you take a look a little further down, you see that there are the number 1, 2, and 3 items there. And this is explaining the reason that we read Megillah, at least the opinion of the Mishnah, that even if we read it in Adar Rishon, now that there's an Adar Sheni, we have to read it again. One line above that is an Agadah, which seems to not have its place here, but we'll understand why it's here. Rabbi Levi B'Shem B'Shem Ben Lakish. Safah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaman Rasha Atid Lishkol Kaspol Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Haman is going to try to use silver to try to bribe Achashverosh, as it were, to kill the Jewish people. Perek Yom, Pasuk Chet, Pasuk Tet and Yod. Amar mutav sheyakdim kaspan shel banai l'chaspo shel oto rasha. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want my children to donate their silver before he does, as it were to preempt him and to circumvent him. And now what's that? And therefore, l'fichach makdimim mekorim parshat shkalim. It's a wild statement that the reason that we read shkalim before Purim is because our shkalim have to beat Haman's shkalim and save us before Haman can destroy us. Because, of course, the basic reason that we read Shkalim when we do, it's a Mishnah at the beginning of Masachet Kilayim, Berosh Chodesh Adar Mashpin al Kilayim, al Shkalim al Kilayim, is because we want to announce and let people know you've got, essentially, 4 weeks to get your Machzir HaShekel to the Beit HaMikdash so that it gets there before Rosh Chodesh Nisan so that the new fund for the year of Korbanot can be established. And yet here we have an Agadah which connects Shkalim not to Nisan, but rather to being pre-Purim, which may then explain why Parshat Shkalim, if we're going to read Megillah in Adar Sheni, and even when we read it in Adar, and then in Adar was added, we have to read it again in Adar Sheni, we understand perhaps now why Shkalim gets pushed off to Adar Sheni, because it's not just due to its proximity to Nisan, it's also due to its immediate proximity to Purim. Now, the three items that are numbered here are different explanations as to why the opinion of the Mishnah is that even if you read Megillah in Adar Rishon, you would read it again in Adar Sheni. But here's where I want to take a break and go to the Bavli on the next page, source 6, and we'll come back to the Rishalmi. The Bavli, remember the structure of the Mishnah is there's no difference between A and B except X, which means that Y and Z are the same. So the Gemara immediately, noticing that the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Megillah, implies there's certain things in which they're alike. Ha le'inyan seder parshiot zevezesh shavin. The inference of the Gemara is that means for seder parshiot they're the same, which would mean that you could read the Ara Parshiot in Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. And certainly it would mean if you read, let's say, Shkalim and Zachor, and then they added a month, you wouldn't have to read them again. That's the implication. The Gemara then goes through and quotes our Tosefta that we saw with the three opinions about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, and identifies that our Mishnah doesn't really fit any of these opinions. Because if it's the opinion of Tanakama said in the Braita that the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Mikra Megillah, but our Mishnah added Matanot Levyonim. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah ben Yossi certainly can't be our Mishnah because he says Adar Rishon works. And Rav Shimon Gamliel can't be because he says that everything about Adar Rishon only applies in Adar Sheni, implying even the Arba Parshiot. And so the Gemara fixes it and says, perhaps what is meant here, first of all, when you say Mikra Megillah, maybe that means Matanot Levyonim too, so that's one way of saying it's Tanakama. Or what Rav Shimon Gamliel really said, and you could see it in the blue with the faded parts, which are the add-in, the Chasur Mechsura, is Ein Bein Arba Asar Shebal Dar Rishon L'Adar Asar Shebal Dar Sheni, Mikra Megillah Matanot, which means maybe what the Mishnah means, it's only referring to the 14th and 15th of Adar and not the whole month. And that the Mishnah is just not addressing the issue of the Arba Parshiot. Okay. Now, this is where the end point I want to get to in the text, in our discussion, which is why is it that Adar Sheni is preferred over Adar Rishon? And we step back and think about it, it seems bizarre. It seems bizarre, most bizarre, in the circumstance that the Mishnah and the Tosefta referring to, which is when there was only one Adar, and you read, and then suddenly they added a month, why you'd have to do it again. But it's even bizarre in a situation where you would know in advance that there were two Adars, because we have a general principle of, when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you don't put it off. And we'll see that in the Gemara now. So in the Bavli, continued, Amar B'chia Baravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchata Kit Raman Shimon Ben Gamliel, Shema Mishum Rabbi Yossi, means we rule like the last opinion in the Tosefta, which is that the only way in which Adar Rishon has significance is for the prohibition of fasting and mourning on the 14th and 15th. Otherwise, it's only Adar Sheni. And now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says something that Rabbi Yochanan is fond of saying, which is, Ushnehem Mikra Echad Darshu. Background. Often when you find a dispute which is anchored in text, the dispute is built upon the notion that one chacham sees text A as being the driving piece of information, and another chacham sees text B. So they're disagreeing which text should rule the day. Rabbi Yochanan says, in this case, and Rabbi Yochanan says, finds this in many cases, they're not disputing which pasuk carries the day. They agree which pasuk carries the day. They're disagreeing about how to interpret it. Here we go. Shnehem Yikra Chad Darshu, meaning Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, are interpreting the same pasuk. B'chol Shana V'Shana, which we saw. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Savar, B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Adar Samuch Lishvat, Afkan Adar Samuch Lishvat. Every year, we read Megillah 15 days after the month of Shvat is over. So the same thing now. The fact that there's an extra Adar coming, as Ma. Rishim Gamliel Svar B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Adar Samuch Lishvat, Afkan Adar Samuch Lishvat. Rishim Gamliel will say, I'll take the same bit of information, and I will read the consistency of B'chol Shana V'Shana, and I'll say, in every year, we read Megillah 2 weeks before Nisan. So therefore, also now 2 weeks before Nisan, which would be Adar Sheni. Now, how is each one of them going to contend? Bishlam Rav Elazar Rav Yossi Mistaber Tama, meaning his reason for choosing, because you realize it's somewhat arbitrary. Am I going to look at Adar as being essentially post-Shvat or pre-Nisan? You could look at it either way. So why is he choosing to look at it as post-Shvat? Because the Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot, again, if a mitzvah comes to your, it makes itself opportune to you, you don't pass it by. And now there's an Adar, there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, my Tama, why does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say we actually delay it by a month? Here's an opportunity to do a mitzvah, we delay it by a month and prefer the Adar Samuch L'Nisan versus Adar Samuch L'Shvat. So we have two reasons given in the Bavli. Amar Rabbi Tava, Talmid Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. He says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prefers attaching Purim to Pesach, meaning Purim should be as close to Pesach as possible, and therefore, since I have a choice of which Adar to do, I'll do the Adar that's closer to Nisan. Mismach Geula LeGeula. Now the Rishonim are divided about how to interpret this. Some see it as a purely functional thing, which is, if people know every year when I get up from my Sudat Purim, 4 weeks from that night is Bidikat Chametz, I don't have to make Cheshbonos. I don't have to start calculating what kind of year it is. For everybody out there, they know exactly how to count the Pesach. And it's a functional issue. The other is, there may be something ideational about it, and that is that we want to have the celebration of these two great redemptions, Purim and Pesach, be in proximity to each other to sort of create a festive environment, perhaps. Maybe there's something else going on, which we will discover at the end of this year. And that's one opinion. Mismach Geula LeGeula. Rabbi Elazar Amar, this is Rabbi Elazar of Tveria, Tam Rav Shimon Gamliel Mihacha, he says, I have a different reason, a different source for why Rav Shimon Gamliel says second month. Dichtiv L'Kayem B'Digarat HaPurim Hazot HaShenit. Now, remember, we saw this in the Yerushalmi and interpreted that Hashenit meant a second time of reading. But the way the Bavli is reading it is, Hashenit means a second month. Meaning Hashenit is alluding to, if you have a choice of which Adar to read it, and you read it in the Adar, which is the second. And now the Gemara justifies why you would need both proofs. Why Hashenit and why B'chol Shana V'Shana? All right, because if you had B'chol Shana V'Shana, you would say, well, then do it like every year in the Adar after Shvat. Therefore, you need Shenit, right? And if you only had Shenit, then I might think that really you should read it in Rishon and Sheni, because there were two documents. Therefore, B'chol Shana V'Shana, just like every year, we read it once, meaning in one day, we read it once, so that once, but Hashenit, meaning in the second month. Okay. That's the Bavli. But now let's roll back to the Yerushalmi, and we're going to see something that's wild. Again, 1, 2, 3. Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Elazar, b'chol shana b'shana. And this is Rabbi Elazar that we saw in the Bavli. Same person. It's a little bit of a fuller presentation. That the text is comparing a normal year with a leap year. Just like in a regular year, it's the Adar before Nisan. So in a Shana Mubert, we also do the Adar that's closest to Nisan. Adar Sheni. Now here, the Yerushalmi doesn't challenge it and say, we'll use the same logic for and go the other way. And now, Amar Rabbi Chelwo, Kedei Lismoch Geula LeGeula, which we saw in the Bavli also, to have one Geula next to the other. And now we hear Rabbi Levi B'Shem Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, something that we do not hear in the Bavli. Ota Shanai Tamu Uberet. He makes a wild claim. He says, the year of the story of Purim, meaning the year of the war in the streets and the spontaneous parties, was a Shana Mu'uberet, which means it actually took place in Adar Sheni. Now, what happens when you have an event historically, halachically, in custom, that took place in Adar Sheni, like somebody's birthday, and then rolls around a year that there's only one Adar, you celebrate in Adar. But if there rolls around a year with two, you celebrate it in Adar Sheni. So since the original event happened in Adar Sheni, he's saying, therefore, without Psukim, without anything else, we have a simple rule, which is when there are two Adars, celebrate it in the same month that it happened in, Adar Sheni. And he brings a text, which is a little bit of a difficult proof. The Yerushalmi continues, and this is where we're going to end our look at the Yerushalmi, when asked the question, Adar Rishon Tosefet, Adar Sheni Tosefet, which means which one of them is actually the add-on month? And then the Gemara goes and discusses how that may have a halachic impact, how we understand which one is really the extra month. Is it a plugged-in month or a tail month added in? Okay. But that is the presentation. Again, the Yerushalmi adds in this third idea that the original year of the event was a Shana Mu'uberet, and it happened in Adar Sheni. I want to point your attention to the last source. The last source is a Gemara in Yoma, the third parak of Yoma, which is a part of a larger exposition of Tehillim Chaf Bet. Tehillim Chaf Bet, Lamanaseh al Ayelat HaShachar LeDavid, is a parak which is credited in a number of the Midrashim with authorship by Esther, and that it's about Esther's stand in front of the king and her feeling abandoned by God, etc. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. This is Esther's words. Why have you abandoned me, etc. And why Chazal chose to associate it with Esther is a shiur by itself. But in this exposition, they take a look at several phrases in the parak, including the superscription, Lamnatzeach al Ayelat HaShachar, which is singular in Tehillim. No other parak Tehillim has that introduction. And explain why that would be particularly suitable for Esther. And this drasha, Amar Rav Asi, at one point they say, why is Esther like a deer, like an ayala? And then they have this one, Amar Rav Asi, lama nimshala Esther l'shachar. Now what's shachar? Shachar is early, early morning, but it's early morning when it's still dark. That's why it's called shachar, because it's shachor. That's why the tefillah we say then is called shacharit. So now, Lama nimshala Esther l'shachar? Why is Esther compared to shachar? Lomar l'cha ma shachar sof kol halayla af Esther sof kol anisim. Just like Esther, the shachar is the end of the night, so Esther is the end of all nisim. What does it mean, the end of all nisim? So it seems like we're working on a historical arc and saying, from the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the greatest Nisim that happened, imagine that as early morning, and then you go through the day, and over the course of the next, we'll call it 800 years, although we're not sure, between Yitziat Mitzrayim and the story of Purim, that the miracles become less overt, less constant, less magnificent in a sense of the whole world seeing them, and to the point where they finally reach what we might call a nadir, which is when the miracles are Vashti deciding to say no, and the king suddenly favoring Esther, and Haman walking in at the wrong moment, and all of these pieces, which we call Nes Nistar, God working behind the scenes, That's Sof Kol HaNisim. Now, notice that, of course, what's missing here, but we would assume, is that then Yitzhak Mitzrayim is Rosh Kol HaNisim. It's the beginning of the Nisim. Now, watch what's happened as a result of the decision, the Psak of Shem Gamliel, which we follow, which is to celebrate Purim Dafka in the Adar close to Nisan. Remember, we saw three reasons in the Yerushalmi. One of them is because Hashenit. One of them is because Mismach Geula LeGeula. And then in the Yerushalmi, we saw the third reason, which is that it actually happened in Adar Sheni. But I want you to think about the reason that both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi adopt, which is Mismach Geula LeGeula. What is a year? A year is not linear. A year is not exactly a circle. A year is more like a spiral. We arrive at the same date a year later, hopefully one step above, hopefully one step improved, but we're at the same point. Purim's coming up soon. Purim again is coming up soon. A few weeks later, we'll be again at the Seder, but hopefully it'll be a more magnificent Seder than the year before. And so we arrive at the same point. Now, picture a circle, and on the circle, you got 100 dots next to each other. Number them 1 to 100. How far is dot 1 from dot 100? Well, the answer is it depends what direction you're going. In one direction, it's 99 points away. In the other direction, it's 1 point away. So if we have Mismach Geula LeGeula, which means we're going to have Purim be as close to Pesach as possible, because we want the Geulot to be associated. And there's yet another reason, because the way that Purim is celebrated is somewhat patterned after Pesach. On Purim, just like on Pesach, we tell the story and we act out the story. And that's part of a much larger shiur, which I've given in the past. But the association of Mismach Geula LeGeula does tie the two of them together. But if it ties the two of them together in a year, that means it also puts them at opposite points of each other. And indeed, Pesach is the very beginning of our year. Rishon hu lachem l'chodshei hashana. And Purim becomes the very, very end of the year. Sof kol halayla, sof kol hanisim. So what has been created by having Purim dafka be celebrated in the Adar that's close to Nisan is not only does Purim become juxtaposed to Pesach, but it also stands at the very end of a year that was begun by the previous Pesach, and thus establishing this image of the overt miracles, the Yad Chazakah and Zroah Netuyah that everybody sees on Pesach, moving in a design that ends up with the Nes Nistar of Purim, and then starting again. And so we've seen several angles and several nuances to the issue of having the celebration of Purim and the mitzvot of Adar, dafka be in the Adar HaSamuch LeNisan, and what gets carried with that is the Arba Parshiot also, because Zachor is associated with Purim, Para and Achodesh are all pre-Pesach and as close to Pesach as possible, and now because of the Midrash that we saw of the association of Shkalim with Purim, we now understand why the entire system of the Arba Parshiot gets moved to Adar Sheni, and why will we will be reading Parashat Shkalim this Shabbat.